This morning, I preached about running away from God. And, of course, didn't just focus on running away from God. Gave some examples in the Scriptures. And thank the Lord that even if we're running from Him, He still loves us. It's a Heavenly Father that loves us, cares so much about us. And if you weren't in here for that service, you didn't get to hear it completely, I encourage you to go to the website this week and listen to that message. It'll really be helpful, I think. But from that, I just want to try to speak to you for a little bit this afternoon about running towards God. Running towards God. This morning, running away from God. This afternoon, running towards God. It's a tragic thing that man is often on a bent or on a slope away from God. Our human nature is a sin nature and a selfish nature, and often we're inclined to do what is pleasing to self rather than what's pleasing to God. Look with me at James chapter 1, if you would. James chapter 1, please. Just towards the very end of the New Testament. I want to assure you this afternoon that a life lived for God is not a life lived in vain. To live for God is not something that you'll look back at when you stand before God and say, boy, I sure regret that. I sure regret that I lived for God. Listen, it's not something vain. It's not something empty. It is something very meaningful to live for God in your life. It's something very worthwhile to live for God and seek to please Him and to give of your life and to give of yourself and to give of your money and to give of your time and to give yourself for God. That is a worthwhile thing to live for. Running towards God is far better than running away from God. Let's look there at James chapter 1 and verse number 14. James chapter 1 and verse 14. It says there, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err. Running away from God can have sad results. Running away from God can have tragic consequences and sadly a bad ending. And we see that described even in those verses. You know, we talked a little bit about Jonah this morning as an example. And boy, when he ran from God, there were some consequences as a result of that. And running from the Lord will always bring a sad ending or some tragic results in our life. There'll be consequences. There may be chastisement that comes. And it may end up that there's a mark left on our life or a scar left on our life sometimes because of bad choices we made or sin choices we've made. Because when we're enticed, we're drawn away with our own lusts and we're enticed by sin and we follow after those things sometimes, it'll have its course and there'll be some pleasure in the course of that for a time. But sin, when it is finished, always bringeth forth death. Sin can have sad results and tragic consequences. Running away from God is like that. But running towards God will result in earthly blessings and eternal rewards. Sometimes, you know, the preacher might tell you, you live for God because it'll be worth it all one day when you get to heaven. And it will. There will be eternal rewards for having lived for God. There will be eternal rewards for having been faithful and having been obedient to Christ. But there's also earthly blessings as well. I believe that. Let's read down a bit further in that chapter, James 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? From above. It's from above. It's from God. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no change in Him. It says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Notice these next few verses. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Boy, when we run our own way and forget what God has done for us and how He's changed us and what He did so that we could be begotten into His family, the children of God, sort of as first fruits, as it talks about, of His creation, and become the sons of God, children of God. Oh, how we should never forget that. It says, but straightway forget what manner of man he was. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, whoso looketh into the word of God, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want to assure you of this afternoon, that running away from God will have some consequences. Running away from God will have some sad results. Running away from God may mean that if you're saved, He has to bring some chastisement or punishment into your life to correct you. And He does it out of love, and He does it to correct you, and He does it to bring you back into a place of blessing. But that doesn't mean the chastisement's going to be nice. Ashley, Eric, Jessica, is chastisement fun? Is it nice when we get chastised? No, in the moment it's not very fun. But afterwards, Hebrews tells us, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Afterwards, it yields holiness, and it brings a change, and it brings blessing, and it brings love from the Father. It's wonderful. But in the moment, it doesn't feel too good, does it? Does it, BJ? No, in the moment, it's not nice at all. You know what? Father can love us, and sometimes because we go the wrong way, we run away from God, there may be a little bit of punishment or chastisement that comes. For the unsaved, let me tell you, it's far worse. Far worse. There's not their Father. There's a God, but not their Father. That for them, the consequences and results may be far worse, far more tragic. It was the psalmist's desire to run God's way. I want you to turn with me over to Psalm chapter 119, and we're gonna just look at some verses there throughout Psalm 119, and be done and go home a little bit after we clean up and work hard for Jesus. thank you for your help. It was the psalmist's desire to run God's way, to run towards God, to run after God's word, and to obey His commandments. And that's a good choice. That's the right choice. It's a bad choice to run away from God. It's a good choice to run towards God. It's a bad choice to run your own way. But it's a good choice to follow after God in your life. We said this morning earlier that our human nature, our way is to live for self and sin rather than to live for God. Living for God is not going to happen on accident. It's not going to happen naturally. It's going to happen on purpose, that we choose to live for God. We choose to run after God. We choose to run towards God. We can all be guilty at times of running away from God. When we go our own way instead of God's way, we're running away from Him. When we do right in our own eyes instead of doing what God's Word tells us to do, then we're running away from Him. When we live for self and do just what's good for us, then we're running away from Him. I want you to have the heart of the psalmist. I want to have the heart of the psalmist. I want us just to look, Rebecca, through some of these verses here in Psalm 19, and we're going to look at them together in our Bibles, my Bible and your Bible there, and we're going to see that, hey, that attitude of the psalmist, that heart of the psalmist is a wonderful heart to have. A heart that says, God, I want to run the way of your commandments. I want to follow your commandments. I want to run in the right way. That's a great heart to have. I hope you'll desire that, the same heart of the psalmist. He said this in Psalm 119 and verse 32. Look at it there. Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 32. He said, I will run the way of thy commandment. I will run the way of thy commandment. I like his attitude. The psalmist says, I'm not going to run my way, God. I want to run your way. I want to run in the way of your commandment. I want to run after God. I want to run towards God. I want to run after Him in my life. Let's look at a few more verses. And I want you to see what the psalmist had to say about choosing to run God's way or choosing to follow after Him. Psalm 119 and verse number 10. Psalm 119 and verse 10. And I'm not going to preach a lot about it, but we'll read through the verses. And I just want you to see his heart, his attitude. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Look down to verse number 30. Verse number 30, we see the psalmist had a heart for God, a heart to follow in His way. Verse 30 says this, I have chosen the way of truth, thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in the way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Look down at verse number 57. Verse number 57. He says, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on thy ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Again, that fits well with something we read in Proverbs 4, where the commandment was given from Solomon to his son. You need to ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the way that you're going to go. Ponder the way that you're going to take. The psalmist was thinking to do that. He was wise to do that. I'm going to think on my way. I'm going to choose carefully my way. Choose to run God's way. Choose to run towards God and run after God rather than to run away from Him. He said in verse 59, I thought of my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. He turned towards obedience towards God's word rather than disobedience to it. He said in verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Look down to verse 97. Verse 97, Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet, I've kept my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Oh, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Look at verse number 110. Verse 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. You know, there will always be some that would rather have you run their way, or run away from God. There's some that will try to lead us astray from following God's way. You've got to say no to them. I can't err from going the right way, the way that God wants me to go. It says in verse 111, Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Listen, you need to make that choice. Some of you that are, you in your own life are new as a Christian, as a born-again believer, you need to say, I'm going to take God's word as an heritage forever. Sometimes people maybe passed on some other type of religion that was a heritage. It was something that was passed down in the family. But now, take this as your heritage. Take God's word as your heritage that you're going to follow and lead your family to follow and encourage your children to follow after, that one day they can walk in a godly legacy and a godly heritage in their life. Oh, what a good choice that would be to do that. Verse 113 says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandment of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Continually, another good word in there would be daily. Daily. If you do it continually, you probably do it daily, right? Love God's word daily. Spend time in God's word daily. Continually. Continually. Look down to verse 124. Psalm 119, verse 124. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandment above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so I will keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they do not keep thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Listen, if we're going to run God's way, we need to love this book too, don't we? You need to love the Word of God. We can't run after God without loving this book. We can't be blessed of God, going back to James, without loving this book and meditating on this book and taking it for ourselves and then obeying God's Word in our life and becoming a doer of what the Word of God tells us to do. That's the way to have a blessed life. Listen, if we're going to run after God, then we need to love this book. Make it a priority in your life to spend time in the Bible and love the Word of God and lead your family to love the Word of God. Read it together. Take a short time to read the Bible. Take even a few minutes. You know, 3 minutes is better than 0 minutes. Eric is 2 minutes more than 0 minutes. Very smart. Junine is 5 minutes more than 2 minutes. It is, right? She had to think about it, but it is. It's more, isn't it? And can I tell you something? If you would just spend a few minutes, it's better than 0 minutes. You know, if you could just read Psalm 1 together with your family and then pray together with your family, that's better than reading nothing. If you could just read Psalm chapter 2 the next day and just pray with your family, that's better than reading no Psalm. If you could just read something, go places and read things in the Bible that would be applicable and that you could learn from, or that you could say, this is what it means and this is what we should do. To take 2 minutes or 5 minutes is better than no minutes. But we need to spend time in the Word of God and love it and let it be what leads us and let it be what guides us. Because if we're going to run God's way and run towards God and run on the path that He wants for our life, we need to know what pathway that is. And the Word of God is designed to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's designed, as the psalmist said, that it would order our steps. Because God wants our steps to go a certain way. There is a pathway that He wants us to take. Love God's Word. We need to love God's Word more than anything else in the world. We need to read it and meditate on it. Obey God's Word. No matter what others may think of God's Word. We saw that sometimes in the psalmist's attitude. No matter what anybody else may sometimes think of God's Word, we must determine, I'm still going to love it and follow it. We may live in an age where a lot of people don't love it. Okay, you keep on loving it. We may live in a day when a lot of people don't want to follow it. You need to follow it in your life. Because if we don't, we're going to be in trouble. And before we know it, we're going to have run so far away from God that it will result in tragedy and difficulty. Hardship, maybe chastisement or punishment. We need to run God's way, run after Him. In Philippians chapter 2, we're gonna finish there. Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 12 in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2. It tells us this. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And then verse 15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So that one day you can rejoice that I've not run in vain. My running was not in vain. My running for God was not in vain. My running towards God was not in vain. One day He'll rejoice in that. There may be times now you think, boy, how come nobody else is running with me? How come so many people in the world don't seem to want to run towards God? How come so many people don't seem to want to run after God's Word and follow God's commandments and run His way? Listen, you're not running in vain. You're not running in vain. To run God's way and to run towards Him and run for the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, that's never in vain. It may be that many in the world are running away from God, but we need to run towards God. One day you'll rejoice that it's not in vain. Corinthians says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I like victory, don't you? Our family is very competitive and we all like victory. We all like winning. We all play a game, we all like to win. That's for sure. Amen. He holds up his amen sign. Well, thanks be to God that we're running for Him. It's not in vain. You may sometimes wonder, is the world going to get the victory? Seems like they're winning. You're not running in vain when you run for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Then he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain. Hey, when you run God's way, you're not running in vain. When you run towards God, you're not running in vain. We're on the winning side one day because we know what the end of the book holds. And we're on the winning side. So keep on running. Keep on running. Don't think, oh, it's in vain. It's not worthwhile. It's too much effort to run for God. It takes too much out of me to be faithful to God. It takes too much out of me to run the race of the Christian life. Ah, it's too hard. No, it's worthwhile to run for God. It's worthwhile to run God's way. It's worthwhile to run towards Him. One day, you will greatly rejoice that you've not run in vain. You've run for something worthwhile, someone very worthwhile. If you'll keep on running for Him, keep on running for Him, keep on running for the Lord in your life.